Good morning, good morning, good morning. I love that song. Van Morrison, one of the best, one of the best. You know, we've had the kids stand on the chairs two Sundays in a row, and I'm reminding me, these chairs are over 35 years old. Yes. Just saying. No, they're good chairs. Hey, how'd everybody sleep last night? Good, good. Way to go. Okay. All right, well, good morning. We're going to continue our summer series entitled Soul Detox, recognizing that our soul needs care. And unlike our body, which is pretty good at telling us when we need a break, we may not always recognize when our soul is weary or hurting. We may overlook or ignore the characteristics of a worn-out soul. And while our souls may not seem as important as the other stuff that we're responsible for, Jesus reminds us in Matthew 16 that nothing is more valuable than our souls. Yet, if we're not careful, our souls can get lost as we're pursuing life. So it's midnight. I think I'll watch just one more episode of Breaking Bad. It's 2 a.m., and I just got the baby back to sleep. It's 3 a.m., and my best friend from California just sent me a text. It's 4 a.m. I wonder why my boss wants to see me as soon as I get to work in the morning. Or, I guess I should have started that term paper much sooner. Maybe the best sermon I could give on the subject of sleep right now would be to turn off the lights and let everyone sleep for 30 minutes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the wonderful spirit of worship we experienced this morning. And I just agree with Catherine's exaltation. You are worthy of it all, our days and our nights. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Reveal your heart to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So far, we've focused on a few of the classic spiritual disciplines: silence and solitude, the importance of scripture reading, getting God's living word in us. We've covered learning contentment through simplicity, creation, singing, and we've also restated and challenged ourselves to take a Sabbath in however God directs us. So in keeping with the S keywords of the series, today we're going to talk about sleep and dreams. I could just talk about rest or peace or the evils of worry. And for most of us, sleep may seem like an unusual topic, so obvious when it comes to our health and well-being. But sleep is a gift from God, and like all gifts from God, we can refuse or neglect them. Or maybe God created sleep as a gift to himself. After all, he wouldn't have to deal with one-third of the population at any moment in time. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We sleep roughly one-third of our life. That should be enough to tell us it's important. It can set the tone for the rest of the day. But what if in this spirit of soul detox, in the spirit of let's change our routine, let's try something different, let's put an emphasis on something that we don't normally put an emphasis on enough. What if, in the spirit of shaking up our routines and habits to gain some soul care, we intentionally think differently about the hours set apart for us to sleep? What if we saw it as the beginning of the day instead of the end? The Jewish day begins at sundown and ends at sundown. So the beginning of their day, they were preparing to go to sleep. What if instead of saying, I need a good night's rest so I can have a good day, we said, I want to have a good day so I can rest well tonight? What if we lived our days in such a way that our nights would come without worry or regret? Fill in the blank. What would that look like? Are we living our days in anticipation of our nights? The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, that conversation or the argument or the decision we made at 2 p.m. revisit us at 2 a.m. Wow. Think about that for a moment. Think about the impact of how we live our waking hours on our sleeping hours. According to an article in Forbes magazine in 2022, Americans spent $65 billion on sleep aids alone. And in general, 15 to 20% of the American population is still considered sleep deprived. Globally, the entire sleep economy, that's everything from My Pillow to Ambien, $432 billion. Clearly, there's a lot of people searching for ways to get better sleep. The average adult ideally should get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep each day. Before Edison invented the electric light, people were averaging a whopping 11 hours. Most people would follow the natural rhythm of going to sleep when the sun set and rising when the sun at first light. From a medical perspective, we need to renew ourselves every single night, or if you happen to work shifts, for a period every 24 hours. The brain and the mind being the most dramatic. Memory, mood, ability to think and create are all rebooted when we sleep. Our immune system, weight control, and heart function are all affected by our lack of quality sleep. My grandfather was a doctor, and he would always ask his patients, how's your diet? Are you getting enough exercise? And how well are you sleeping at night? And if he wasn't happy with any of the answers that he received from his patients, he didn't prescribe medication. He wrote a prescription. If sleep was the problem, he wrote a prescription that said, be in bed by 9 p.m. every night for the next 2 weeks, and then come back and see me and we'll talk some more. While in grad school, I had the opportunity to do research on folks that were battling sleep apnea. It was relatively new back in the mid-80s, so we were still learning a lot. But I saw firsthand in the most severe cases what true lack of sleep could do to one's life and one's family. People would lose their jobs. It was a serious, serious problem, and still is. But I want to say this. Just like some people are exceptional athletes or faster learners or happen to be parents of a newborn baby, not everyone needs or gets 8 hours. So I'm not going to try to tell you what is best for you. There will always be exceptions. All I'm asking is, in addition to your physical well-being, will you consider how your sleep habits are affecting the well-being of your soul? So what a great opportunity we have to invite Jesus to be Lord of our sleep and not leave it up to chance. Usually for me, my pressing into Jesus about my sleep usually happens when there's a problem. But think about it, 1/3 of our lives. Why do I wait so long to invite Him, to include Him in my sleep? Generally speaking, our state of being gets accentuated by our sleep. Sleep reveals some things about us that we might be able to ignore or compensate for while we're awake. God intends sleep to be a gift and a blessing to our body and soul. So let's examine a few of God's purposes for sleep apart from the known health benefits. The first one, sleep builds our trust, and from trust comes peace and joy. Famous passage where Jesus calms the storm from Matthew. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus wasn't taking a nap. The day was over. Go back and look at verse 16. It was evening, and they headed out into the boat. His body and his soul were tired. He was asleep for the night. Perhaps they all were asleep, except for the ones operating the boat, waiting for the next shift to take over so they could get some sleep. But then the storm comes and panic sets in, and it's everything from I'm about to lose my lunch, to I'm going to lose my boat, to I'm going to lose my life. All but Jesus, who was sound asleep in the middle of the chaos. Why? Because he controls everything. Take a moment to see the contrast between Jesus asleep in perfect peace while the world rages. Now, to be fair, the disciples were still trying to figure out who Jesus was, but that didn't keep him from challenging them to grow in their trusting faith. And even though we have the benefit of knowing more than they did, we still literally have to let go and release ourselves to God when we go to sleep. God works a lot of things out for us while we are sleeping. So back in the spring, I was working on a personal decision, a financial decision. And there was a deadline, and I had done my due diligence. I had talked to people. I had read the research. I was calculating the risks. And I went ahead and made the decision to not do this thing. And I thought, well, I was hoping it would work out. I went to sleep that night, no problem. And in the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up and said, "You made the wrong decision." And I was like, oh. And immediately, like the storm, panic started to set in. And I started working everything through my head. And then I stopped and I said, "God, okay, I made a wrong decision. If there's any way I could get another chance, I'll take it. But if not, I'm going to trust you that it's going to work out in the end." And I went back to sleep. I got up the next morning, same thing. "God, sorry for making the wrong decision. I thought I was making the right decision. If there's any way I can have a second chance, give it to me and I'll take it." And then I forgot about it. Went through my day. I was actually driving to Stanton and the phone rings. And the guy I've been talking to said, "Hey, Bert, I got good news. I miscalculated that deadline. You actually have 12 more hours if you want to change your mind." So I did. And it worked out great. Yeah, I'm still clapping, man. So now I lay down at night. I lay down for the night, and I actually take an inventory of the day. I look at the good, I look at the bad. And I give the bad. I thank God for the good, and I give the bad to him and say, "Lord, help me work this out. I'm releasing it to you. I'm trusting you with this." And a lot of times it helps me sleep better. I've also started praying the Lord's Prayer, or at Catherine's encouragement a couple weeks ago, instead of grinding, I have a scripture that I prepare ahead of time before going to bed And I rehearse that scripture the moment my mind starts to grind on things. It makes a huge difference. I used to check my phone one last time before bed. That's a bad idea. I actually may go back to using an alarm clock and keeping my phone in another room. All right, number two. Sleep develops our spiritual awareness and our soul's responsiveness. This passage from the night Jesus is in the garden, again from Matthew. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. Poor Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." When we trust our sleep to God, sometimes it's not about sleeping. Jesus had a few sleepless nights himself, most notably this one in the garden, while at the same time his close friends couldn't stay awake. 3 times he woke them up, asking them to pray and be alert in their spirit. Sometimes our souls need to learn when to sleep and when he's asking us to be aware and stay awake to pray. That what is happening in the spirit needs to stir up our souls and awaken our flesh. King David wrote many psalms that told of his troubles by night, that not only caused him to cry out to God, but created an awareness in his heart of what God was doing. When we intentionally put all of these soul care practices we've been talking about in place, including our sleep, our awareness of God will deepen. Our body and souls will be in harmony. There's a story that goes like this. Back in the 1800s, at the height of British colonialization, I didn't think I was going to say that this morning, at the height of British exploration, there was a man who went to Africa because he just wanted to see the inside of the jungle. He wanted to go into the inner jungle. So he hired a bunch of tribesmen as porters and as guides, and they carried all of his stuff into the jungle. And they marched, they hiked one day. And so after that first day of hiking, they went to sleep, and it was just a terrible night, a fitful night of sleep. He got up the next day all ready to go. He wanted to get deep into that jungle, and the tribesmen wouldn't move. He thought of everything. He offered more food, more money, everything he could think of, and they wouldn't budge. So he went to the leader, and he said, "What's going on? I hired you guys to help me, and now you're refusing to do the work." And the leader said, "They're waiting for their souls to catch up to their bodies." Interesting. We will grow and mature in Christ, ready for service, when we follow his rhythms of prayer and practice, work and rest, when we make his priorities our priorities. Number three. Sleep expands our sense of revelation through dreams. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." That's actually out of Acts 2, but it's Peter quoting the book of Joel. Numerous stories in the Bible include God speaking through dreams. Jacob didn't have a MyPillow. He had a my rock. And when he laid his head on that rock, he saw angels coming up and down a ladder in a pretty incredible dream. Old Testament Joseph and New Testament Joseph were directed by God in dreams. Daniel not only had dreams, but interpreted dreams for the king. God directing his people through dreams was an expectation. King Saul became troubled when God stopped talking to him in his dreams. Newly crowned King Solomon, trying to figure it all out, had the Lord come to him in a dream specifically to ask him what it was that God was to give him. pretty incredible. I feel like most of us don't pay attention to our dreams, much less to expect God to speak to us in our dreams. They're just for the mystics or the super prophetic or those guys living high on a mountaintop somewhere, not us everyday people. But that's not true. I would encourage every one of us to not dismiss your dreams just because most of them don't seem meaningful or they're just plain crazy. We can have just as crazy thoughts when God's trying to tell us something during the day as within the night. Most of my dreams are just extensions of my day, only way weirder. Like, I can't find enough corn to run the lawnmower. And services are about to start, and I need to get the grass cut. Recently, at the beginning of the summer, we had just come back from vacation. It was mid-June, and we came back on a Saturday, so it was Saturday night, and had a dream about shutting down the boiler. It was summertime. You need to shut down the boiler. Okay, thanks, God. So I went back to sleep, didn't give it another thought. The next day, Sunday morning, I'm sitting right there where Dave and Sylvia are, and the guys in the sound booth send me a text. We hear this low growling sound. I think something's wrong with the sound system. It's coming and going. It's on the right side of the sanctuary. So I stopped and I listened. And sure enough, I could hear this. And then it would stop. It would stop. And I was like, suddenly that dream popped in my head. Air was getting into the hot water system because I hadn't shut the boiler down in time. And the water had evaporated. And now it was trying to push air through the system, making the growling sound. So after the service, I went, turned off the boiler. Problem solved. Till the fall. So yeah, so crazy dream, right? I'm telling you, he's speaking to you guys. You need to listen. I just want to say, yeah, he's speaking to you, and maybe some of you have experienced the same thing. And I just want to say, I have other dreams too, and they're not all about work, and they're not all about church. I do have a life outside of Grace Covenant Church. But the point I'm trying to make here is sometimes dreams are God's way of cutting through our cluttered, overworked brain, cutting through that cluttered mind to give us his clarity and his wisdom. And we need to allow him to do that. I've learned that as I pay more attention to the dreams God gives me and asks for his help in understanding them, he gives me more. In fact, just this past week in one of our leadership team meetings, we all took a significant amount of time to pray over a dream that one of you had submitted to us for our consideration. We take dreams seriously. When we steward his gifts well, and remember, sleep is a gift. When we steward his gifts well, he'll give us more. Okay. So I am taking my sleep more seriously. I'm changing some habits. There are times when I still can't sleep, though. What's going on with that? All I can say is it happens. And when it does, just keep seeking God and trusting that he even has a purpose for our sleepless nights. Just like our daytime struggles, if we allow him, he will cause something good to come out of it. We can have a restless night just like we can have a stressful day at work or home or school. Have a bad dream, give a bad presentation. Run out of time on a project, wake up in the middle of the night. Of course, God wants us to have a good day and He wants us to have a good night. When we go through seasons of dryness regarding sleep, just like dry seasons during the day, those times cause us to have a greater dependence on God, and at the same time, we grow deeper roots. We don't like it very much, do we? But can we believe He is still working in our weakness, that He is still working because in our weakness, He is strong, and we are the weakest and most vulnerable when we are asleep. So I want to play a song for you now. It's a song by Toby Mack, and it's called Rest. And so I just want to take a moment. Let's just get still. Just close your eyes and just listen to this song as we close. I don't know if you picked up on it, but throughout that entire song, you hear this tick, 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 tick. And the first time I heard that song, that ticking was the beat of the day, okay? Move, move, go, 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 go. But as I listened to the words of the song and it moved through, it became more like the gentle ticking of a clock as you fall asleep. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to shift the rhythm of the day to be the rhythm of the night. And He will do that for us so that we can rest and receive His blessing. So that ticking, again, maybe it's like that old school clock that I'm going to put next to my bed now. I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. So this week, I want you to consider these things. Let's remember to ask Jesus to be Lord over our times of sleep, to use that time to refresh our body and soul. To be intentional about that. Let's also consider deepening our trust in Him to create more awareness of his presence in our lives. And for fun, but I'm also serious too, every night, give this a try, every night for a week, ask God to give you a dream, either for yourself or for someone else. And I suggest you keep a notepad handy, because he's going to tell you some things. He's going to surprise you. So this morning, before I close in a blessing, I just want to encourage you that if you're struggling with sleep in any way at all, please come forward. Come forward. These guys will pray with you, and I guarantee you, you're going to get some breakthrough. So if you're struggling with insomnia, or perhaps you've had a lot of bad dreams lately, or you just can't get your mind to stop, work is just driving you crazy, you can't get your mind to stop, to rest, or maybe there's something that you're just unsure about, ask God to show you while you're asleep in your dreams. So please, also, if it may be sleep, maybe you're sleeping like a baby, and it's stuff going on during the day that's driving you nuts, come on and get prayer for that too. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know the one who calms the storms and the chaos in our lives. Today would be a good day to introduce yourself to him. So please, come up. Come up this morning and let God minister to your hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of sleep. Thank you that you created us in such special and unique ways. And Father, there is not a moment of our day that you're not aware of. And there's not a second of our day that you don't want to be a part of. So we invite you today, be a part of our life from the time we wake to the time we wake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys. Have a great week.